Okay. We start with the next presentation about the Flatland framework. So it's still about railways. But Manuel will present a really interesting approach into open innovation as well, and not only into open source.
Thank you very much, and welcome also from my side. I'm very happy to be here and talk about the Flatland Framework initiative that originally started at SBB, but now evolved into its own association based in Bern, Switzerland. A little bit about Swiss Railway Network. These numbers are only from SBB, but SBB is the biggest operator. So it gives you an idea about the Swiss Railway Network. There are about 3,300 kilometers of track in Switzerland. There are about 11,000 train runs per day, passenger train runs. About 1.3 million passengers transported every day. About 175,000 tons of freight and a punctuality of about 92.5%. Very precise in Switzerland. So, up to. Yeah, it's from SBB's open data portal, I guess they're correct. Exactly. So just to give you an idea, a railway network is quite complex, especially if you have a dense schedule. Also, the demand might increase, so there might be also demand or requirements for more even denser schedule. And so this poses a lot of challenges for the railway network. And you can also imagine if you have something like a train that is delayed, or even worse, a breakdown that takes a long time to fix. Somebody needs to take care of these trains that are already underway. On one hand, to minimize delay, to minimize impact, but also to come back to a nominal state as soon as possible. Not sure. So this is done by human dispatchers. They navigate or they direct the trains. They don't drive the trains, but they help and which routes they have to take. They have to reschedule, to redispatch. And so there's already a lot of research in operations research, traditionally from railway operators, that also looks into how such tasks can be supported by algorithms, by software. But they have a similar problem than the human operators. It is that if we scale, if you look at bigger networks, like the whole of Switzerland, these traditional optimization algorithms, as well as human operators, they don't scale that very well. So it's hard to optimize the whole network, especially in a short amount of time. So here we talk about some minutes where we have to find solutions, at least short term. And so the idea was to look into novel approaches. So not just classical optimization, but also novel approaches. And about 6 years ago at SBB, the idea was, let's look into machine learning and in particular into reinforcement learning and how this might help with this problem. So just a little bit about reinforcement learning. So basically you have a reinforcement learning agent. The agent depicted here on the right is the brain in a box. And you have an environment. And the agent wants to act in this environment. And the agent can observe this environment. And in addition, in order to learn, you also need some measure that tells you, that is an indicator, how good your action was. And so this is a basic reinforcement learning setup. And so the idea was, let's see how we can do with reinforcement learning for these kind of problems. This worked very well in the beginning, some early experiments, but it was also clear that this is, on one hand, a novel approach. It's not so established. There's not years of research in reinforcement learning in railway. And also, there are a lot of different approaches. So the question was, like, how can we make use of this technology without doing everything in-house? And so the Flatland framework was born. You see it here on the right, a nice animation. That's basically what you get out of it, at least visually. So you see the little trains moving. And on the right, you see the basic elements. Because the question was also not just how to use new technology, but also how to bring researchers and people working in reinforcement learning into the railway domain. And so the idea was, let's create something simple that still gives enough complexity to solve a real-world problem, or at least to look into a real-world problem, but that's also accessible for people that don't know that much about railway. And so the Flatland framework basically is, on one hand, a simulator, discrete time simulation. It's on a 2D grid, so there are some things that are not possible in Flatland. But it works quite well for trains because they usually don't fly. And you only have a couple of simple cell types, a couple of simple switches, straight lines, curves, and so on. And basically, everything in Flatland can be represented by these 10 cell types and rotations of it. Then we have a train, the agent, and we have a station, the target. So the task is simple. I'm a train. I start somewhere. I need to navigate to my train station. However, this might look simple at first, but the question is how? What's the reward? How can I observe the state? Because we have a little bit of the same problem as the classical optimization. If we want to look at the whole grid the whole time, so every agent observes the whole grid, if we scale this to a network the size of Switzerland, this is again not possible. So this concept of observation and reward are very interesting and very important for reinforcement learning. And so defining the actual observation and defining the actual reward is quite challenging. So again, the idea was like, how can we use this? How can we use this approach for this kind of problem? So on one hand, we looked into what are possible observations. So there's some basic observations that are provided by Flatland. The global observation, which is a bit not so good. Local grid view is another one, quite intuitive one. I just look at some cells, but you might imagine if you're on a train, on the tracks, the things left and right usually don't matter so much. However, it matters where you go. You have junctions, switches, you can go left and right. And so we have also built in this local tree observation that showed very promising results. However, this was the beginning. We saw that this had potential, but it was way too much to do in-house and also not just to open source, because, why should somebody care? And so the idea was, in the beginning, let's start with a challenge, a machine learning challenge, to bring people onto this topic. So the first Flatland challenge then started. Everything was open source, and we had a lot of traction also on this challenge. So it was really to have a community that can help, and not just people in-house, or not just people that by accident stumble upon the GitHub repository, but that we can actively engage a community. And one big opportunity here for open source was really like, you can also imagine like the Flatland environment could be like basically close to source code of the environment, and you just have an API where you can interact with the environment. But what I mentioned earlier about observations and also reward, you can imagine if you have a train run. How good is one decision? It's hard to say, do I go left or right or straight, do I stop? So you really need to take into account the whole picture. So you have all the train runs. At the end, you want to be there on time. But it's hard to say what action was actually responsible for being on time. And so this was really one important decision for Flatland, to be fully open source, because the reward shaping and observation building is a huge part of reinforcement learning. And this is really something where also then the community came in. And for the Flatland challenges, you could basically modify most of the Flatland environment. For the evaluation, there were some things you couldn't do. But for training, basically, you could do most of it. You could really adapt the environment. You can build your own wrappers to build your own observations and so on. And what we've seen was actually a lot of engagement. On one hand, we had actually extensions published also for the Flatland environment. So it was not just the groups that did this for themselves and didn't share it with anyone. On one hand, the condition was that if you won a prize, you also needed to be open source if you wanted the prize. But there was also really a lot of people that were just interested in the topic and happy to share. And so we had a lot of extensions, like for example here, you have the whole network, but then some people realized only actually the cells where I have to take a decision, they matter for our approach. So for example here, the red cells, here on the right, is where you can stop. So this can have an impact. Or you have switches. That's something where you have to go left or right or straight. So there you have to take a decision. So they made a wrapper that only basically, or that masked basically all the non-decision cells. But we also had people that actually built tools for analysis. So they have a whole, it was Shivam was one of the driving force for this tool. So he built this whole tool where you could visualize all the train runs. You could see the decisions that were made, the congestions, like here, for example. And you could analyze your whole train run and see where your model or your approach might still fail. This was also open source. Even during the competitions, also other people could use it. And we had also a lot of people engaging actually creating the baselines for the challenges. So what you see on the top right is the training of the reinforcement learning models and a lot of different approaches. So also there, people just joined in and said like, hey, I'm interested in this. I want to work on these baselines. What you see in orange is the global observation that I talked about before. So you see that the higher up, the better. So there you also have the proof, or at least some proof that the global observation doesn't work that well. But you can also see that there is a learning curve. And yeah. And I think this is one of the big things that came out of the framework. I think due to these efforts, it was also possible actually for multi-agent reinforcement learning to catch up. So what you see, the top line, the blue one, is an operations research approach. So still kind of a classical approach from multi-agent pathfinding. However, you see here also that the multi-agent reinforcement learning solutions are close. This was not the case in the first challenge. So from left to right, you have growing complexity of the networks. You have more trains. You have bigger environments. And again, like the higher up, the better. So one is basically a perfect score. And the more you go down, the less. Here, also I think important to mention for the competition, they had a limited amount of time to calculate the next step. So you couldn't calculate for a whole hour for the next step to take, for the next action to take. So this was also constrained, and this is also why you see operations research, for example, going down. Thanks to also these flatland challenges and being open source, we also realized others have the same problem. And so this European research project, the Horizon Europe project, started. AF RealNet, that looks into AI for real-world network operations. We're not alone there with the trains. There's also aviation and power grids. And we really realized that not only flatland, but also other initiatives like it can also help each other. Because some approaches that work, for example, for aviation might also work for a railway and also for power grid. And so this is really a nice story to see, like how also open source projects can help each other. In addition, what you see here on the left is a human. So it's not only about AI, but actually Flatland is also used to facilitate human AI interaction research. So part of AF RealNet is also this research on how can a human operator interact with an AI assistant. To conclude, I think open source can really inspire. In our challenges, we had more than 4,000 submissions of solutions with more than 1,000 participants. And we there are more than 100 papers published that directly reference papers we wrote, but also directly made use of the Flatland environment. So from our point of view, this is really a success story. Open source made it possible. Without open source, this would not have worked. And if you want to contribute, you're more than happy to go to our GitHub, read the docs. There's a starter kit that takes about 15 minutes if you know how to code in Python to run your own environment and train your own agent. Thank you very much. Do you have
time for a few questions? yes, I wanted to know if you have worked on explainability, on